السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. وقد قال الله تعالى، كل نفس ذائقة الموت. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, we continue with our topic which we have been discussing over the past few Jumas, and that is the incident in the life of Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Hatim Asam. Hazrat Hatim Asam, as we have heard by now many times, was the student of Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, and after 33 years in his company, when the Ustad or the Sheikh asked Hazrat Hatim Asam that now that you are parting, you are leaving, what did you learn? So he said, I learned 8 lessons. So first he was disappointed that only 8 lessons he learned in such a long time. But afterwards, when we heard the 8 lessons that he had learned, then he said that I studied the Taurat, I studied the Zabur, I studied the Injil, and I studied the Holy Quran Sharif. And the essence of all 4 books are the 8 points which you have mentioned, which you have learned. So we were discussing the first one, that the person has love for something or the other, but sooner or later, either he parts, he goes away, he says farewell, or those things that are in his possession, or those things that he loved, they leave him. One of the 2 things happens. They cannot accompany him after his death. And even if they do accompany him, like there were some foolish kings and rulers who took along with them their gold and silver also into the graves. But that gold and silver wouldn't have helped them in any way. So these things will remain with the person until death, and in majority of the cases it does not even remain until death. During the person's lifetime, so many of the things that he possesses, either snatched away, destroyed. For example, if it's clothes that he dearly loved, it was a beautiful suit which he always wore on occasions, but that too is not going to last. It will, one day will come when it will be tattered and torn. The food, no matter how delicious that food, but after he has eaten the food, we know what is the end result. So he says, I saw that every person has got some love or great love for something or the other. But all these things left him. At the time of his death, they all left him. So therefore, I made my beloved Amal-e-Saliha, righteous deeds. And this is the point that we have been discussing, that he made his beloved Amal-e-Saliha. There was a king, as a, by way of an example, Hazrat Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the king of examples, he gives this example of a king. He says that there was a king who lived in a fort. There were 5 canals that were bringing in water into this fort. 5 canals used to bring in water from the outside into this fort. So he was quite happy and satisfied that there's plenty of water available. Inside the fort there was nothing but merriment, enjoyment, fun, pleasure, dancing, singing, wine, women and song. That was his lifestyle. So he was told that you should do something to have provision for water inside the fort. For if the enemies have to cut off your supply line from the outside, then you will not be able to survive, because water is an essential commodity of life. So how are you going to survive if they have to cut off these five canals, because they are all bringing in water from the outside? You haven't even dug a little well inside so that you could survive for a few days, get a little bit of water at least, if the enemies have to cut off those supply lines. But this king in his arrogance used to say that no, there is no need for it, because there's five canals that's bringing in water. What is the need for me to have another small well inside or make arrangements inside? It's all coming in from the outside. Enjoy yourself. Life is meant for enjoyment. Then one day the enemies, seeing that there is no other way to defeat this king except by cutting off the supply lines of water, so they put a block on the canals that were leading the water into the fort. Now they started making, "Hi, hi, what must we do? No water." But it was too late. Now they couldn't even dig inside because the labor had to come from the outside. So they couldn't do anything until they suffocated or they died of thirst. Now he gives this example and he says that is exactly the situation with many of us. That when we are told that there is an akhirat, when we are told that there is an akhirat, there is a life after this life, there is a day of judgment that is going to come, that this world is a temporary abode. We have seen so many people come into this world and leave. So therefore do not give your hearts to this world, because you will not remain with those things to which you give your heart to, and neither will those things remain with you. So therefore give your hearts to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Make use of the ni'mats that Allah ta'ala has blessed you with plenty of shukr. But do not disobey Him. So what do they say? They say life is for enjoyment and pleasure. So the five canals that are bringing in the water into the fort, which is the heart is the place where every enjoyment comes. So the five canals that are bringing in the water into this heart, the canal of the eyes, the canal of the ears, the canal of the mouth, the canal of the nose, and the canal of the touch. The five senses. So when they are told that use these five senses in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's wish and will and desire, they say, no, we must enjoy ourselves. We are getting enough pleasure by means of all these outside senses. So why should we even bother about the life of the hereafter? There is no need for amal saliha and life and worrying about the life of the hereafter. We are enjoying ourselves. Our eyes are enjoying. Our ears are enjoying. Our tongues are enjoying. Our hands and feet are enjoying. Our lips are enjoying. Why should we bother about akhirah? But they are told that one day these supply lines will be cut off completely. Then you will not be able to do anything. It will be too late. You will make hi-hi, but it will be too late. But they do not want to listen that these supply lines will be cut off one day. And when it will be cut off, nobody knows. When the angel of death will come, these supply lines will be cut off. Now that enjoyment of the eye is no more. The body is there, but the eyes are seeing the angels of death. What enjoyment is he get to get in that state in that of Sakarat? Or they will be shut for all times. Soye to aise soye ke jaage nahi. Lete to aise lete ke baithe nahi. Khamosh huye to aise khamosh huye ke bole nahi. He said that day will come. The way they slept, that they never got up. The way they were silenced, that they spoke no more. The way their eyes were shut, that they saw no more. So before that day comes, says, make preparation for that day. That is all that is required. And it will not make the person's life miserable. It will not make the person's life boring. It will not make the person's life unpleasant and unhappy. Allah Ta'ala will put enjoyment into that person's life. He will still use those same eyes and see a lot of things that will give those eyes enjoyment and pleasure. Plenty of things to see which will give those eyes enjoyment and pleasure. He will get pleasure in his heart, that canal which will bring in water. Now because it is bringing in with the blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so there will be no fear. of it being cut off and causing a problem. Now with those eyes he will see the beautiful mountains, he will see the beautiful waters of the ocean, the waves of the ocean. He will see the trees of the jungles, he will see the beautiful animals in the parks. He will see the faces of his wife, of his children. All those things that Allah Ta'ala has made it permissible for him to see, he will still look with that eyes and take an enjoyment. And those who have got Allah in their hearts and have got Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam muhabbat in their hearts, then they will take great enjoyment from seeing the Baytullah Sharif. And they will take great pleasure in seeing the dome of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For them that will be the enjoyment. Looking at the Gumbad-e-Khazra, the green dome of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In other words, there will be so many things that these eyes will still see and have an enjoyment. There will be so many things that the ears can still listen to and take enjoyment and pleasure from. There will be beautiful recitations of the Quran Sharif that they can listen to and take enjoyment. They can listen to so much of naats and qasidas, which are of the permissible kind, and take enjoyment of the ears. And they can listen to speeches and waaz and nasihats and so many things there are that the person can still get enjoyment. He can even listen to jokes which are permissible. Laughter and jokes are not haram in Islam. It's permissible, provided it is within the framework of Sharia. So there's so much still to enjoy with those ears. So if that canal of the ear is bringing in all this enjoyment and pleasure, it's going to be of no problem to this person when the time of death comes. So therefore, Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayhi says that I made my friend, I gave my heart and I gave my love to Amal-e-Saliha. Because those Amal-e-Saliha are going to come with these same actions, with this same body. So brothers, that is the lesson that he has left behind for us. That we should not be like those who say that when we die, we turn to dust and that's the end of life. In fact, the life really begins when the person is dead. The life really begins at that time. Because now it's going to be an unending life. There'll be Alam-e-Barzakh. After that, the Maidan of Hashar. And then either Jannat or Jahannam. There'll be an everlasting life. So the preparation has to be made in no other world but this world. And the preparation also is extremely easy and simple. It is not difficult at all. But unfortunately, we who sing so much and we shout and we scream so much of abuse and so much of swearing and cursing that we do of America and of the Yahud and of the Nasara and of the Kuffar and of the Mushrikeen, but we are the ones who imitate and emulate them. How many people are prepared after seeing what is happening in Palestine, what the Americans are doing, watching the destruction day in and day night, and especially those people who are watching television and reading all the magazines and newspapers. How many of us, after that, we are now prepared to get rid of all those Hollywood movies from our lives, and those video films from our lives, and all that American culture from our lives, and from our homes. It is very, very easy to just shout. But we know that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got a system. We are hurt and deeply hurt at what is happening there. How long are these Muslim countries going to remain silent, we do not know. How much more destruction do they want to see before they will really take some action, we do not know. Are they going to do the same thing that happened in Bosnia and Chechnya and other parts of the world, and when complete destruction takes place, afterwards they say we will give some material aid? That seems to be the trend. And in the meantime, the waters are being tested more and more, more and more. First a little bit of shooting here, a little bit of shooting there. When they see that the world is silent, the only people that dance and sing and shout a little are those people who are far away. But those who have got some power, some strength, something that they can do constructively, they are silent. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, how true it is. The love of dunya and the karahiyat of maut has entered the hearts. Plenty in numbers, but they can do nothing. So the waters are being tested after a little shooting, they see nothing is happening. Then afterwards they start using a bit of missiles, and even they use Air Force fighter bombers over a small territory of people who haven't got anything besides stones to fight. But they see that still the world is silent. Nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. So they go further and further. And when complete destruction takes place, then afterwards some aid comes in the form of clothing, food and shelter. In other words, we have become helpless, toothless. Why is it that we have become like this? The enemies have penetrated our homes with their culture, with everything. And we are fast asleep, fast asleep. It is easy to shout what is happening in some other part of the world. But how much of that American culture and that Yahud Nasara culture are we prepared to get rid of from our lives? How many of us said, let us make 2 rakats of Salatul Hajat if we cannot do anything else? Then let us make 2 rakats Salatul Hajat and make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to send down His assistance and His help and to forgive our sins. Because that is where the test lies. Until we don't get forgiveness of our sins and until the ummah at large does not make sincere tawbah from sins, Allah Ta'ala's madad, Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, Allah Ta'ala's help is something that is a distant away. And especially that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I forgive everyone. Any person making tawbah, I will forgive him. Any kind of sin that he has committed, sincere tawbah he must make. I've mentioned many times what are the conditions of sincere tawbah. The return of wealth if it has been usurped or taken illegally. Payment of dues. Performance of salat if it has become qaza. Keeping of rozas if it has become qaza, etc., etc. So Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive. He says, except those people who are openly committing sins. Those who are committing sins openly. When a person commits sins openly, then he is rebellious. Then that is rebellion against the government of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This person is committing treason. Now if you have to look at the surat and the seerat of ours, when somebody has to talk about the beard, we say, what is it? The iman has to be inside the heart. We don't have to show it outside. Indeed, beard is not the only thing. And many, many people with beards are doing a lot of wrong things. But then two wrongs do not make a right. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who emphasized so much, not one person, not even a munafiq in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, had the courage to shave his beard and come in front of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And we will get people at Madina Tayyibah crying in front of the Roza Mubarak, but standing in a condition that is displeasing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Now that is open declaration against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that we don't care what happens. That is our way of life. Our masters are the Americans. Our masters are the British. Our masters are the French. We will follow their traditions and their customs and their practices. Why should we be concerned about Sharia and Deen? And this is the condition in the Muslim world. This is the condition in Palestine itself. This is the condition in Bosnia and Chechnya and other parts of the world. It is just the du'as of this great, great Awliya-e-Kiram and Buzrugan-e-Deen and the jihad spirit of those true Mujahideen, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is still keeping Islam bouncing, and Islam will keep bouncing. Islam never ever became weak. There is no question of Islam becoming weak. Islam was never weak and it will never ever be weak. Yes, we can say that the Muslims have become weak. We Muslims have become weak.
Tumhare ghar mein choron ne lagayi hai naqab, jaago. Tumhare ghar mein choron ne lagayi hai naqab, jaago. Tumhara ye maal asbab sab liye jaate hain, ab jaago. پڑے ہو اب بھی غافل کر رہے ہو کیا غضب جاگو پڑے ہو اب بھی غافل کر رہے ہو کیا غضب جاگو بہت سوئے بس اب جاگو
بہت سوئے بہت سوئے بس اب جاگو بس اب جاگو. I say the enemies haven't come in silently into your homes. They have drilled, they made a big noise. If the thieves come in, walk in silently into the home and they steal and they go away, we can say, well, the person was fast asleep, he didn't hear. But here they say they are drilling, making such a big noise and such a big din that we are coming into your home. Do what you wish to. So he says they walked into your houses after making a big din and a big noise and drilling, coming with big, big drills and breaking your wall and entering. And they're taking your wealth, they're taking your gold, they're taking your silver, they're taking your clothes, they are taking your fridges and your furniture, and they are going. They are taking everything and they're going. And still you are sleeping, ghafil. How long are you going to remain asleep? How long are you going to remain ghafil? How many nasihats and how many wazas and how much of hadiths have still to be told? How much of Quran Sharif has to be recited? How many programs still do we have to attend? What does he mean? He says, bahut soye, bas ab jago. You have slept far too long, far too long. Now get up, get up. How long are we going to live this life of indifference and of hypocrisy on the earth of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? What he means is that they have come in, the enemies have come in very, very loudly. With the media they have penetrated your homes. With their magazines they have penetrated our homes. With the newspapers they have entered our homes. Today the Haji Sahab, the Maulvi Sahab, the Mufti Sahab, the Qari Sahab and the Tabligh Sahab go into their homes on Sundays. I'm talking about the majority. And see what kind of newspapers are lying around. What kind of filthy pictures are there. Little children are watching that and reading those filthy articles. Young girls are reading those same articles in front of the fathers and the mothers. The mothers and the fathers are reading it and giving it to the little children to read. All that filthy culture has entered through the videos, through the movies, through the media, through the magazines, through the newspapers. The Haji Sahib is unconcerned, the Maulvi Sahib is unconcerned, the Hafiz Sahib too is unconcerned. When these people who are supposed to be the leaders of the community and showing by practical example that if we have to read that newspaper, we'll read those articles which are of essence and of value, and all the other filth, we will tear it up without even bothering that what people will call us. They can call us stupid, they can call us foolish, but we are not going to leave in our homes for our young boys and our young girls to read that kind of filth in these newspapers, which will destroy their culture, which will make them something else besides Muslims. And we know what the results are. So he says, ab jago, how long are you going to remain asleep? How long are we going to criticize America and criticize the world for doing this to Islam and doing that to the Muslim? When are we going to x-ray ourselves and see what kind of Islam do we have in our lives? And we cannot those same things happen what is happening in other parts of the world. So this is what he says, they are stealing. They are stealing the culture of Islam and we are not concerned. Brothers, I'm saying certain things which may offend some people, but then what do we do? Today, if a person has to go for Hajj or Umrah, when he has to look for an offer, what is the best offer, then he has to buy a Sunday time extra. He has to buy a Sunday time extra to find out what's the best offer to go for Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, and what does that newspaper contain after that in that whole Sunday Times, and the back pages and all the other articles. But the person has to go and buy that newspaper to find out what's the best offer. A person wants to buy a tasbih, he wants to buy a kurta, he wants to buy anything that is of Islamic value. He has to buy a Sunday time extra to go and buy that, to go and see where is the best offer. Nauzu billahi min zalik. And then we say, azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is coming all over the world. Do not we have other sources of advertisement? Cannot we use other channels of advertisement? Is our rosy now in the hands of the media? That tomorrow if there is a magazine which is distributed worldwide and they are the cheapest in advertisement rates, but worldwide millions of people read it, but it is a magazine which is promoted by the prostitutes and by the gays and by all the filthy associations and organizations. So would we say that now let us start advertising there too now? A person wants to make qurbani, he has to go and buy Sunday time extra to find out where is the best animal that we can buy. And which country can we send it to? This is what I mean by the enemies have penetrated. They have come right into our homes. They have come into our lives. They have taken our culture away. And now we are like lifeless, soulless, toothless, gutless, nothing. But we say we are waiting for the madad of Allah and the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala to come. Brothers, I am also very sinful. And wallah, I can take qasam upon qasam in this masjid on this Jummah day. I consider myself to be the most sinful person on the earth of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah must forgive me too. And Allah must forgive all of you and the entire ummah. I am not considering any person as being inferior. But there are certain things, until we don't say it, how are people going to stay away? Alhamdulillah, one person that used to advertise in the Sunday Times, the Qurbani. But after having spoken to him, he withdrew those advertisements. Because we are encouraging those papers after that to come into our homes, where our young girls, young boys, they are reading it and it is destroying their moral fiber. So take up some courage, some strength. Let us start. Let us take a few steps towards Allah Ta'ala and see how Allah Ta'ala then draws up towards us. And He'll give us such peace, such happiness, such sukoon. I'm telling you, He'll give us such sukoon in our hearts that nothing will disturb that tranquility and that serenity and that joy and that comfort of the heart, irrespective of the conditions outside. May Allah Ta'ala bless me with it, bless you with it, and bless the entire ummah with it. May Allah Ta'ala assist and help our brothers and sisters who are suffering tremendously in Palestine, Kashmir, Chechnya, and other parts of the world. There are some programs that will be taking place in support of Palestine. We should give them our moral support. And there are collections and donations being undertaken. We should try and give that also and make plenty of du'as to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because there is nothing else that we can do except du'a for them. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.